We bring now to these microphones David James of David James Reports. By the way, that's on our website. If you've missed any of our conversations that we've had with David about issues confronting the entire world, but not only the world, in particular, the church, Christianity, you can go to the website, prophecytoday.com. There on the right-hand column, if you'll scroll down, you'll see the icon for David James Reports. We'd love to have you understand all the issues we discuss, and don't miss a one of them. They're available for you on our website, prophecytoday.com. David's on his way back to the United States. He'll be traveling, and on the way, he'll be having an opportunity to refresh himself after a number of weeks in the Middle East and then into the Ukraine and finally into Hungary, where he's been at the Word of Life Bible Institute teaching the Word of God to young people from a number of nations across all of Europe. David, we want to go back and look at, again, a second time, an issue that we discussed while we were, both of us together, in Jerusalem, and we were talking about an upcoming event that was to take place, headed up by Promise Keepers and Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, a man some may now call the America's Rabbi. And this was being billed as a huge event with some 500 pastors from the United States, maybe another 500 from other nations. But these plans seem to have been drastically changed. Tell us what's the latest on this upcoming main event for supposed great Christian leaders there in Jerusalem.
Well, hi, Jimmy. Thanks for having me. Good to be back with you again. This weekend, an article came out on Charisma News where the head of Promise Keepers, Raleigh Washington, was discussing that apparently plans have not gone forward as they thought they would. They were hoping to bring a total of about 1,000 pastors to Israel, and they were to have a big meeting in the Kidron Valley. What happened was they lost one of their large backers and have had to scale back about 90%. So now they're hoping to have about 100 pastors from the United States. They're still planning on having meetings, still planning on doing live streaming, still trying to connect with pastors in Jerusalem, but it's a significant scale back, and then they're regrouping, hoping to have a large group next year.
David, what about beyond the change of the size or the amount of those they would like to have in this conference? It seems perhaps even their focus and their strategy is changing or evolving as well, including somewhat of an adjustment to the name of the event.
To me, to be honest with you, as I've read the different articles associated with it, it seems a little bit confusing exactly what they're trying to accomplish. When we first began following this and reading the article, it had to do with the fact that they said that they were trying to begin mending a 2,000-year-old gap that had developed between Messianic Jews and evangelicals that was still going on to this day. And one of my concerns was that if there was a gap, it was because of some demands or practices that Messianic Jews were engaging in that were actually separating themselves from the evangelical community at large. And now this new focus seems to be, one, trying to connect some of the Messianic pastors with pastors in the U.S., but also there seems to be an attempt to somehow reconcile Americans and Jews in general. So it just doesn't seem to have a very clear focus as to exactly what they're trying to accomplish, and even if they'll be able to accomplish whatever it is they're hoping to accomplish.
You know, it bothers me when you explain what you were talking about and some of the phraseology that they're using. For example, they use the term Messianic Jews. That is not a biblical term, as best I can understand, and they say there's a rift between the Messianic Jews and the Gentiles. As I look at the book of Acts, for about the first 20 years of the church period, only Jews were coming to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Then at Caesarea, the Lord was to open the door for the Gentiles with Cornelius, the Roman centurion. And Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11, seems to indicate the two people that were at enmity with each other were brought together and become one, and they would be called Christians, and that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what in the world were they trying to make up or presuppose there's some type of a rift so that they could have a meeting based upon that?
Well, yes, and it's so extremely interesting. You know, as you study the letters to the New Testament church, what you find is that the ethnic Jews who became Christians, they're the ones who distanced themselves from the Messianic roots, or their Jewish roots, let's put it that way, their Jewish roots, not Messianic roots, but their Jewish roots, in that they realized that they couldn't bring the spiritual aspects, the spiritual requirements of the law into the church, that it was something they shouldn't be doing. And if they did, it would be violating the principles of the fact that Christ had become the end of the law. And so now they are one in Christ. The only real issue that was dividing them was solved at the Jerusalem Council in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, which was a matter of eating kosher food and could they eat the same food that Gentiles could. And so for the purpose of just getting along, the Jerusalem Council said, okay, let's agree on the food part. Let's not let that be anything that divides us, because we don't have the full revelation yet. We're in 49 AD. The rest of the letters in the Revelation, including the book of Hebrews, it's still 20 or 30 years in the future, which kind of completely resolves that. But they were getting along together, and they weren't bringing their Jewish worship practices into the church. They were setting them aside.
You brought up the fact that Hebrews was not even written yet. And, of course, there's a great Bible scholar who said, the book of Hebrews was written to help Hebrews quit being Hebrews, which is, I think, a very short but positive commentary to what the book is all about. And ironically, when you talk about Messianic Jews, we're looking at a man who is the co-sponsor of this thing, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. He's a part of a so-called Messianic Fellowship. That whole movement is just really not working together within the body of Christ as the Bible calls for it, is it?
It's unfortunately almost trying to force things and end up mixing an oil and water by saying that it would be helpful if Gentiles would get back to their Hebraic roots, whereas the ethnic Jews of the first century, they're the ones who would move away from the Hebraic roots, as it involves the practice of following the feasts and the prayer shawls and calling one another rabbi. You don't see any of that in the New Testament. Those things were set aside for the purpose of being the one new man with Gentiles as a new entity, a completely new person, never existed before, and that is the Christian, the body of Christ.
That is absolutely on target biblically, and I don't understand why they're trying to bring something up and continue to divide the body of Christ. Another thing that I'm thinking about as I think about what you told me on their strategy, they're going to try to connect some 50 Messianic Jewish pastors in Israel to, they say, about 100 evangelical pastors in the United States. Now, I got to tell you the truth. I pastored a church there. I started a church back in 1991. It's still going very, very well in Jerusalem. Menno Kalashir is now the pastor of it, Kehilah Jerusalem, the assembly at Jerusalem. It's a Baptist church, but we just simply don't use the word Baptist in the front of it. We don't want to bust a Jew in the mouth before we try to lead him to the Lord. If I think about it, and some of the fellowships we had, I'm not sure there are 50 Messianic Jewish pastors or 50 men who are pastoring churches focusing on winning Jews to Christ. I don't know how they're going to pull this together either.
Well, that was my concern, too, you know, and as I gave this some thought, and knowing that definitely you had more insight into this than I would, if there are 50 Messianic pastors and 50 Messianic churches in Israel, that in itself is almost kind of a hidden fact, if it is a fact at all. And then the other concern would be, what would be the total possible range of theological beliefs among that many people who have no central connection and probably even Bible training? I would say the breadth of doctrinal differences would be, even if you can find 50, which I doubt, is going to be all across the board. And then you combine that with the fact that the promise keepers themselves don't really have any kind of clear theological center. And then to find 100 evangelical pastors in the U.S. who would be more concerned about theology, and I just don't see how any of this can really work the way at least it's being planned at this point.
Yeah, the planning does not seem to be enough on target to really accomplish anything, and their stated goals seemingly have no way of coming together. Let me ask you just one more question, and I want to quote from an article by Promise Keepers President Raleigh Washington. He says, "The devil will do everything in his power to prevent this from happening because of the depth of the spiritual impact this will have, including hastening Christ's return." Now, that's a quote from the Promise Keepers President, Raleigh Washington. I don't know how this is going to hasten the Lord's return. He must be talking not about the rapture of the church, but the second coming, and the rapture is the next event on God's calendar of activities.
Well, you know, that is probably one of the more interesting things in the article. What it does, if it hastens Christ's return, it basically throws out the tribulation as something that's not even going to happen. So it spiritualizes the tribulation period. If it's hastening Christ's return, it basically must be saying that the millennial kingdom is not a reality, that we are actually a part of setting up the kingdom. Even as the queen, we're setting up the kingdom so that the king comes in and takes it over. I mean, it almost sounds like either an amillennial or a postmillennial position, combined with, perhaps Jonathan Kahn. You know, when you and I talked with him back in April of 2012, he said he was a dispensationalist, saying that he believed that there would be a tribulation, maybe a difference on when we would say the rapture occurred, but definitely believing in the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. So, again, the confusion just seems to be piling up and overwhelming the entire event. I'm not sure how it could possibly work.
I am not either, David, and that's why we're discussing this issue here on Prophecy Today with David James Reports as the focus on what is supposedly to be a great conference upcoming in Jerusalem. David, thank you so very much for your research, your insight. We appreciate it. We must continue doing this exercise of discussing issues that the body of Christ needs to at least think about, but have a understanding, a biblical understanding of. Thank you so much. Have journey's mercies as you return to the States.
Thanks, Jimmy. Catch you next week.